You're listening to the Screaming Pods Network.
Hello there. Welcome to a new episode of Just the Discs. My name's Brian Sauer. This is my podcast about Blu-rays. This episode, I am discussing a foreign label called Umbrella Entertainment. Now, these guys are from Australia, and they're doing a lot of great work, and I'm not sure, as with Indicator, that enough people are aware of their work and checking out their discs, especially because a lot of them are region-free, and a lot of them are titles that are only available on Blu-ray from Umbrella. Like, they have no domestic Blu-ray releases, and so people are missing out. These are really nice special edition discs. I'm a big fan of their Blu-rays for Road Games, The Man from Hong Kong. I just picked up Orca, The Punisher, the Dolph Lundgren Punisher. There's just a lot of great stuff to be had from them. And I am talking this episode about three of their most recent releases. And I'm going to start with a little movie called Silver Bullet from 1985.
It began in May. And every month after that, whenever the moon was full, it happened again. And again.
What was that?
It's over there.
Who looked at it, me?
Nobody knew who or what was responsible.
Come on.
They only knew it had to be stopped. Now, from the master of mystery and suspense, Stephen King's Silver Bullet. Silver Bullet, the last glimmering hope.
Now, this disc says Region B on the back, but it played perfectly fine in my U.S. player, so consider it basically region free for all intents and purposes, and well worth picking up. You can get this one through Amazon or through Umbrella's site if you look up Umbrella Entertainment. I like this movie a lot as a kid, and I still do. I still think it's one of my more favorite werewolf movies, and a lot of it has to do with the way that Daniel Attias, the director, approached the story. Now, this is based on Stephen King. The back says, it started in May in a small town, and every month after that, whenever the moon was full, it came back. When a series of unexplained murders occurs in the normally quiet town of Tarker's Mill, the residents decide to hunt down the killer. Many of these vigilantes end up dead, and those who don't are no closer to finding the assailant. But when a young wheelchair-using boy named Marty, Corey Haim, encounters a werewolf one night, the pieces begin to come together. Along with his sister, Megan Follows, and Uncle Red, Gary Busey, Marty begins a mission to capture the werewolf once and for all. Based upon Cycle of the Werewolf, by acclaimed horror master Stephen King and legendary illustrator Bernie Wrightson, Stephen King's Silver Bullet is a chilling tale of small-town horror. So yeah, this one always hooked me as a kid, I think partially because of the Corey Haim character and, as I said, the way the director approached the whole tale from the point of view of the family and what it's like to have a handicapped kid in your family and how they deal with it. And I don't know, there's just, it's emotionally grounded in a great way. And I think I can't remember how many times I had seen Gary Busey in films before this one, but I always loved his character, Uncle Red, in this one because he's just so good to the Corey Haim character. Like, just loves the kid and makes him these awesome motorized wheelchairs, and two of them, in fact, both of which are pretty cool. And I just always thought that was a neat sort of gimmick as a kid. I'm like, oh, wow, he's got his own very special motorized form of transportation, and how cool is that? Especially the second wheelchair, which is just totally tricked out and amazing. I just always kind of could relate to that. I mean, not that I wanted, I guess there's a sense of like, I can't drive yet, but to have a motorized, you know, transport like that would be really cool. And
I need a Phillips screwdriver.
You know, it's not enough that the monster killed all those people. He killed Brady. And that was Gotham to cancel the fair.
And the fireworks.
Yeah, and the fireworks. That's another thing.
Where's your mom?
She and Dad are out back lighting a barbecue. Yeah, Jane's walking around in all these new clothes showing off her tits, acting like nobody ever had tits before her.
Let me see if I got this right. The guy killed your best friend, drove your best girl out of town, and now he's responsible for canceling the only carnival you got. Am I lying?
No, you're not lying, Uncle Red.
Well, it just so happens I've got something that might cheer you up.
Oh, you mean I could see it?
Yeah, it's time.
Now?
Yeah, now. Cover your eyes.
Oh, come on.
Cover your eyes.
Come on. I've
been busting my ass on this deal. Ta-da!
Wow.
It's an ass kicker, isn't it?
Is that for me?
Well, hell yes, it's for you. Damn, looks good.
Wow, it's beautiful.
Do you have a pilot's license?
Do I need one?
I don't know. So I just like their relationship a lot. And I think it set off something in me, which I didn't fully come to realize later until I think Tarantino articulated it in an article or an interview or something, where he was talking about like characters that can die in a story, basically. And like the Uncle Red character, you like him a lot. And part of the dramatic crux that draws you in is this idea that you're probably thinking Corey Haim's not going to die. He's one of the main characters. But Uncle Red could die, and wouldn't that suck? And doesn't that create a certain amount of tension that really carries you through the story? And so I guess I always think of sort of Uncle Red syndrome, where I'm like getting involved with a new movie, and particularly horror movies specifically, where there's a character that I like that's kind of a side character. And you kind of go, uh-oh, is this person going to make it through the whole movie? And how is that engaging me? And is that keeping me in this story in a different way? And so I guess I've kind of always liked that approach. But the cast is great in general. I mean, you've got, like I said, Corey Haim, Gary Busey, Terry O'Quinn is really good. Everett McGill is great. Lawrence Tierney has a nice smaller role as a bartender with a crazy bat called the Peacemaker, which comes up, you know, a couple times in the movie. So anyway, just a really solid werewolf mystery film. And even when I, you know, had seen the movie and would come back to it, sometimes I forgot who the werewolf was. And so it was kind of fun to revisit that and go, oh yeah. And then, you know, kind of see the mystery all over again, depending on how long it had been since I'd seen it. But anyway, this is a really nice special edition Blu-ray from Umbrella, and it's got a director commentary where he talks about influences and how he got his break, as well as like production specifics and how he approached it, as I said, from this point of view of the interesting family situation and the dynamics of that whole thing, where you've got an older sister and a younger brother who's handicapped, and how does that affect their relationship, and how is the family affected overall just by having a handicapped child? You know, it really like looks hard at that situation. And I think that's part of the reason people remember the movie, is because it's a very specific thing and brings you into the story in a great way. And it's these character relationships that really do make the movie more emotionally engaging, and in that way scarier than most werewolf films, because you do care about these people and sympathize with them.
What's the money for?
New pair of pantyhose. Is it enough? Jane, please take the money. It was Brady's idea, honest to God. I want to make up.
I can get a pair of legs down at the pharmacy for $1.49. Here.
I
Is it true what you said about Uncle Red?
Yes. I'm sorry I told you the way I did. It was mean.
It's okay. Never did much like Sheila anyway. Maybe I'll like the next one better.
I guess he had seen Corey Haim in Firstborn, which is a movie I like a lot, which I talked about on Pure Cinema at one point. And he loved Busey from The Buddy Holly Story, which is also a really cool movie. So it's always neat to hear those tales of what films a director saw that had them decide to cast an actor in a certain film. So anyway, that's a really cool commentary track. Also included on this disc are an interview with Everett McGill, the actor. That's 16 minutes. Martha De Laurentiis remembers Silver Bullet. That is 26 minutes. She became Dino's wife. She was like the bookkeeper on this movie, I think. But she's got some interesting stories of what she remembers from that time. There is something called Full Moon Fever, which is interviews with special effects artists Michael McCracken Jr. and Matthew Mungall, and that's 21 minutes. There's isolated score selections, an audio interview with composer Jay Chataway, who I like a lot, great composer, did the original Maniac movie, theatrical trailer, TV spot, radio spot, etc. So it's a really solid special edition for like kind of a classic 80s horror film. And it looks good to me, you know? I mean, these are not necessarily restored transfers, but it looks better than I've ever seen it look. And it's just a nice package. You can order this, like I said, on Amazon or through Umbrella. Definitely worth a pickup. That's Silver Bullet. Next up, I've got a movie called Dark Age from 1987.
Dark Age. Out of the heart of the Australian bush comes a huge man-eating crocodile to terrorize whites and Aborigines alike. But to the Aborigines, he is a sacred beast and must not be harmed. In the chaos of superstition, panic, and fear, innocent people are killed until the legendary monster returns to the dark age from which he came.
Special danger. Big fella right there.
Yeah, well, when I want your advice, I'll ask for it.
Originals, they don't want it killed. They say it's a dreaming croc. Oh, not again. It's sacred.
Sacred? It just ate three people.
Dark Age.
Now, this one is also listed as Region B, but also played fine in my US player, so consider it region free. The back says, a classic tale of terror from the golden age of Aussie exploitation. Dark Age features Outback stalwart John Jarrett, who's in Wolf Creek later, as Northern Territory wildlife ranger Steve Harris, a stoic survivor charged with conserving the ever-diminishing crocodile population from encroaching hunters hell-bent on destruction of the species. Faced with formidable opposition from gung-ho hunter John Besser, Max Phipps, Mad Max 2, Steve is joined by girlfriend Kathy and sets out to relocate a giant crocodile to a breeding ground sanctuary well out of harm's way. Aided by expert tracker Undabund, Burnham Burnham, Ground Zero, he's an Aboriginal actor, and Adjeral, David Gulpin, the tracker, another, I believe, Indigenous actor, the intrepid foursome risk life and limb in a terrifying journey that will test their nerves and transform the tranquil territory waters into a raging red torrent of death. So this one very much has a Jaws vibe about it. Not quite as straight a ripoff as Grizzly is, but pretty close. You know, with a giant crocodile instead of a shark, and a bunch of really similar scenes like a beach attack, including a kid getting killed, main character flipping through a book of croc pics. It's got like sort of the mayor speech, you know, like that sort of, we have to take care of this or we'll lose, you know, tourism dollar kind of scenario. So there's a lot of pretty heavy similarities, but you know, I like a good Jaws knockoff and this one's pretty fun. The gator himself is good enough that I wasn't taken out of the movie, and he is big and scary, and he moves quickly and he takes big bites out of people. And so in that way, he's, I don't want to say he's scarier than Jaws, but he can just pop up out of nowhere in shallow water and, you know, snap people off of boats. And I don't know, there's something about that that's enjoyable for me as a animal attack enthusiast. The special features on this wonderful special edition include an audio commentary with actor John Jarrett and executive producer Anthony Igiani, a bicentenary with Bite, Revisiting Dark Age, a panel discussion with film historians Lee Gambin, Alexandra Heller-Nicholas, Emma Westwood, and Sally Christie. That's pretty cool. And then uncut, not quite Hollywood interviews with John Jarrett and Anthony Igiani. Now, if you're not familiar with Not Quite Hollywood, it's a really great documentary all about Australian cinema, particularly the exploitation cinema of the 70s and 80s.
I don't know if this happened anywhere else in the world, but in Australia in the 70s, our art house films became our mainstream films. People embraced our art house films, and the films that we were making that would have been considered our commercial mainstream films anywhere else in the world suddenly got relegated to be our B-movies. And I think that's why they're considered exploitation, because our mainstream films became our underbelly exploitation cinema in Australia. And that's why I think the term fits, because they were never conceived as mainstream films in Australia, even though they had the bigger budgets and they had the mainstream subject matter, or the mainstream audience subject matter, they were considered our B-movies. So I think that's why, in Australia at least, exploitation does actually make sense, because our genre films, our sex, our horror, our action, our thrillers, were considered embarrassments.
And so this movie definitely is touched on in that film, but you can see the full length interviews here, which is great. Something called Living with Crocodiles, which is a 1986 documentary with Graham Webb, author of Numanwari, the book which inspired Dark Age, theatrical and original U.S. home video trailers, etc. So this movie's long been sort of not that available. I mean, you could get, I guess, an import DVD relatively recently, but it hasn't had a stateside DVD that I'm aware of, maybe ever. It's been available on VHS, so the people that know it, I think, know it from that. But if you like the Jaws knockoff genre like I do, this is sort of a must-have, you know? And I also like that they, like I said, have put out Orca already as well, so you got a couple Jaws type movies already available. They also, I think, did Razorback, which is another Jaws knockoff, and I think Steven Spielberg's favorite Jaws knockoff, if I recall. So that's pretty sweet as well. So great disc for an underseen movie that definitely deserves some more love. Well worth picking up. And lastly, on my umbrella entertainment pile is a movie called Fair Game from 1986.
She was alone. They were renegades. She became the target of their savage hunt. She was fair game. They hunted her. They used her. Now they pay the price. Fair game.
The back says, Jessica, Cassandra Delaney, is a young woman who runs a wildlife sanctuary in the Australian outback. She is in for a world of trouble when three bored kangaroo hunters, Sonny, Peter Ford, Sparks, Gary Hu, and Ringo, David Sanford, turn their sights on the animals in her sanctuary. When they see how attractive the owner is, they decide to have a little, quote, fun with her too. But they get more than they bargained for as Cassandra fights back. So yeah, this is a tough watch, especially now. It's very much, it's not quite like I spit on your grave level, you know, rape revenge, but there's definitely a pretty heavy duty sort of assault and just some bad stuff. These guys are real creeps, and they established that from the very beginning, which, you know, is certainly good for suspense and unease. But yeah, this is the idea that they are just bored. And it's not really personal at the beginning at all. And so this poor woman kind of gets initially just harassed and her life threatened, and things just kind of amp up and up and up until you get to your sort of climactic confrontation, you know, which is certainly effective. I'll give it that. But yeah, I'd heard of this one. I feel like this definitely came up in Not Quite Hollywood as well. But it's, you know, a very Australian film because it takes place in the outback and there's just a certain kind of scumbaggery that goes on with these kind of hunter-poacher types. And there's just this certain kind of lawlessness that I guess you see sometimes, or at least I feel like I do, in outback-based films where you're just like feeling the isolation of the characters and there is just very little in the way of assistance. You know, like the girl at the beginning of the movie goes to the sheriff after they run her car off the road and she's almost killed, and he's just kind of like,
"So how'd the windscreen break?"
"It was hit by a stone thrown up by their van."
"Have you still got the stone?"
"No."
"Yeah, well, it's hardly what I'd call a hanging offense. Probably just an accident."
"It was no accident, Frank. Can't you understand? They nearly killed me."
"Look, it may have seemed that
way, formally requesting you to lay charges."
"Jess, I know you're upset, but there is no point frothing at the mouth like a mad dog when there isn't even a bone to chew on."
"I haven't finished
yet. Look, I'm
yet.
Not going in front of the magistrate till I've got some sort of proof. So far, you've offered me nothing."
"I also want you to charge them with trespassing on my property, shooting on a wildlife reserve, destruction of fences, and cruelty to animals."
"Yeah? So where's your evidence this time?"
"Here."
"Oh, well, I'll get that to forensic right away."
"Oh, just do your job,
Look,
Frank.
Look, Jess, why don't you go home and have a cold shower? The heat's getting to you."
So there's a certain, like, male chauvinism that's present. I mean, obviously not just in Australian films, but certainly in this kind of story. And it just makes for this sense of helplessness and anger that is tricky. But yeah, she obviously gets her revenge, you know, and in a good way. So another Australian film that hasn't gotten the greatest release as far as U.S. domestic DVD and stuff like that. It may have gotten a DVD release. I'm not sure. This is an all-region Blu-ray. Definitely worth picking up if you're into this kind of film. It's got some nice special features, including audio commentary with director Mario Andreccio and writer Rob George. Extended interview. Oh, yeah, it definitely was in Not Quite Hollywood because it's got an extended interview with Cassandra Delaney from Not Quite Hollywood. Something called On Location with Fair Game. Behind the Scenes 1985 TV Report from NWS9 Action News. Behind the Scenes 1985 TV Report from ADS7 State Affair. And Behind the Scenes with Dean Bennett. Theatrical trailer. Mario Andreccio short films. Vandalism, 1981, Break-In, 1983, Taken by Storm, 1984, Abduction, Who's Next, 1984, and Under Pressure, 1986. So you get a sense of the filmmaker he was before he made this movie. There's definitely a sense of some style to some of the shots he chooses and some of the camera placements. There's some canted angles, there's twisting of the camera that helps, you know, increase your feeling of a sort of uncomfortable, like, oh, this doesn't feel right, you know, something's off kilter, literally. So I did like that about it. But yeah, these are three really interesting and solid special editions from Umbrella Entertainment. I do recommend checking out their entire catalog and what they have upcoming. It's very exciting stuff. I know that they're always kind of looking for new and interesting films to bring to Blu-ray, especially stuff that doesn't have a release domestically in the U.S. So I just like that they have an eye on that sort of thing, which is a great approach from a label like this. But they're doing really good work, like Indicator, and I think it deserves a spotlight. So go to umbrellaent.com.au to check out their website. They are on social media under UmbrellaEnt on Twitter, and I think Umbrella Entertainment on Instagram. And they have Facebook and everything. So go check out their site. Go see what they have to offer. There may be some little gem that I'm missing that you may want to pick up that doesn't... like Beastmaster, I think, is one of theirs. And so anyway, there's a lot of great stuff to be found from this company. If you're not familiar with them, definitely give them a look. So please have a wonderful and Blu-ray-filled week, and I will talk to you guys soon. Bye-bye.